Well, good morning. Welcome as we worship together. Whether you want to sit, stand, however you want to worship, let's worship together as we celebrate the Lord's presence.
Gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Show us your glory, show us your power, show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory, show us your power, show us. Show us your glory, Lord. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Father, what an opportunity to gather in your name. God, we pray just as the songwriter envisioned it, that you will show us, God. Show us your glory. Show us your power. Father, you are in this place. We have come to worship you. Draw our attention to your presence, God. Draw us unto you that we may find your blessings rich. Father, bless your people today. Bless those that are watching, those that have gathered. Father, may your presence fill this place. We thank you and praise you. In your holy name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. Well, what's going on in the life of our church? Well, we have decided to take a break on Bible study on Wednesday night, but I am going to start probably after the 4th, for those that want to watch. Probably going to be doing some small Bible study online. Just myself, sitting in my office, sharing with you some scriptures, I have a study that I'm looking at. I think it'll take us a little while, so if you're interested in tapping in, you can. The desire to keep speaking is phenomenal. So I just had it God laid on my heart, and I was going to do something Wednesday, and I just could not find the right piece. So I'll keep doing that, and God laid something on my heart, and I've got something in my office that'll take us a few weeks, but I'll celebrate that with, and then we'll talk about that. But you'll have something to keep you active for the summer months. We'll share some scriptures and some things that'll keep us going until we come back. But that'll be Wednesday nights. I'll probably do the same time, 6 o'clock. So we'll keep the same rhythm. So about 6 o'clock, I'll open up my Facebook, and I'll do Facebook Live for those that are interested. It'll be on, also, Jim will put it on the website, too, for those that want to tap in. It'll be a Bible study that we can follow along, and at the end of it, I'll give you the scripture for the next week so that you have something to read and we can gather and kind of discuss. But it's going to be more for just celebrating God's goodness so that you have something to keep your mind moving through the Bible study time. What else is going on? Bread breakers. Yeah, today we're going over to Golden Corral. Those of you that want to go with us, it was a last-minute activity that we kind of said we were going to go over. So we're going to go over there. The food is the food. So enjoy it. If you want to come along with us, there'll be a few of us going. Anybody that wants to go, just let Roxanne or Beth know. We'll go over and gather and have some food and fellowship together. Interesting enough, this morning, if you listen to the message at 9:15, I talked about the calling of Levi from Luke chapter 6 or 7. I'm trying to remember what scripture it was this morning. Wow. That's a shame. My mind is that gone. But we were talking from Luke chapter 5, the calling of Levi. And it had to do with fellowshipping together. So if you're interested in that portion, you can pick that up. But that's today at 11 o'clock. What else is going on? Reverend Dr. Karen O'Docker, a good friend of ours, is moving on to Western PA. She's taking a ministries position there. There's going to be a celebration for her Sunday the 14th. So it's an RSVP. So if you're interested, Karen's preached here a few times. That is at Lighthouse Church. Please respond so they know how many are going. What else? Malu, Women of Ministry. There's that August the 24th. There's a gathering at Metropolitan Church of God, which is on Schaefer Road in Detroit. Tickets are $25. You'll enjoy the speaker there, Priscilla Schreier. Great voice of God. So if you're interested in going, I would suggest that would be a great day for you. What else? BethanyChurchofGod.org. Everything is there for your viewing pleasure. And before I move on, it is someone's birthday today. Well, I try not to embarrass people in the service too much, but I'm going to do it today. That guy's back there. John's birthday today. And I found out by accident. So, that's cool. Happy birthday, John, from Bethany and from us. I usually don't do that, but I try not to embarrass people because that's not what you do, but today I can make him turn red, and it is his birthday. What are you, like 42? I'm kidding you. I didn't want to know. I was just kidding. Your son reminded you this morning. Okay. Well, kids have a tendency to do that, don't they? Remind us of our age. But that's the celebration. Please check into BethanyChurchofGod.org. Our website is, Jim Grant has done a wonderful job from Creative Fusions. Everything's up to date. There's podcasts. All of that's on there for your viewing pleasure. That being said, don't forget the fellowship in the back, our food pantry in the back if you're interested in giving to that, and all kinds of stuff. So the bulletins are back there. We're going to worship the Lord, right? So whether you sit, stand, however you're comfortable, let's worship together. This song is really powerful.
just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to flee, declaring there's hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Hallelujah.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul captive by liberation. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Thank you, Lord.
Shout Jesus from the mountains.
Jesus in the streets.
Jesus in the darkness for every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus. Shout Jesus on the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus, your name is power, your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Thank you, Lord.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. Every soul held captive by the bridge, I speak Jesus. Down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I
Father, when I think that God His Son not sparing sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross He gave His life for you and for me. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. God, we even pause today, recognition of the greatness of who You are, God. Oh God, all we need to do is speak the name of Jesus. For there is power, there is healing, there is life, there is love, there is joy, there is peace. Yes, God, there are challenges, but there are greatness in the power of Jesus' name. Father, for all of history, that name has been spoken. Even early on, Father, they spoke the name of Jesus, and it parted the waters, and it led them to safety. Even as they were in the mouth of the lion's den, they spoke the name of Jesus, and there was restoration. Even in the midst of the fiery furnace, God, there was not even a hint of fire, and you led the children to safety. God, even on the mountaintop, there was an anointing. Even in the water, Father, as you rose up, there was power in your name. We speak the name of Jesus. And at that name, God, every knee shall bow on earth, in the earth, and above the earth. That Jesus is a name that is above every other name. God, your presence is in this place. And we are thankful for the power of the name of Jesus. Oh, God, as we even gather in your name, Father, we even break the bread of life. We celebrate the goodness of God. We can take our shoes off in the presence of God and recognize that we are in your presence, God. Oh, God, through that name, you can do all things. Father, there is that breaking of bread. There is that fellowshipping together. There is that power and recognition, Father, that what you are doing, that as you have begun a good work, you will carry that on. Father, I pray for the people of God this morning. God, as we praise you, we think of, God, those who are away, those who are shut in, those who are ill, Father. Our bulletin is full of it, God, and we ask that for each and every name that is listed, every name that, Father, comes to our attention, Father, that you will touch it today. Oh, God, I pray for our leaders. I pray for our country, God. God, even as we come to a 4th of July celebration, a time of remembrance, a time of knowing, God, we pray for our country, God. Oh, God, we need to be drawn unto God. Father, there is chaos. I don't even, God, even understand it all, but I know there is a need, God, to draw all people unto you. Oh, Father, not that I'm a political person, but I just pray. I pray for our president. I pray for our leaders. I pray for those who are in power. I pray for those who are giving their lives daily, Father, that we may enjoy the freedoms. I pray for the people that are out working, those that are serving, those that are giving. God, that you will touch your people today. Father, there are those who are watching, those who are away. Father, we celebrate with Pastor Salim. All the way in Bungoma, Kenya, we celebrate with the Pentecostal Church in Kangoma. We celebrate, Father, with people all across this great nation. And yet here we are in your presence, Father. The Holy Spirit is active and moving. And Father, we pray for the touch. Father, I pray for Renew, who is a long way away with her family. Father, bless her, Father. May your Spirit rest with her. Give her wisdom, Father. Give her peace. Give her love with her family, Father. Give her direction. But Father, care for her and her family. Watch over them, Father, that you will bless them, that the Holy Spirit's power would rest on them. I pray for Deborah, who's all the way in Las Vegas with her sister. God bless her. I pray for Charlotte, who is watching from home. Pour your Spirit on her. I pray for Suzanne and Louie. And those that are away, we continue to pray for those that, God, need you today. Father, I know there's someone on our mind, someone on our heart that we need to lift up to you. Sometimes, God, we continue to pray. And yet, God, sometimes we don't get a chance to hear our own mind thing. But Father, right now, in this moment, in this time, speak to us. Let us hear the name of Jesus. Father, over every heart and every mind. Let those that are watching, Father, sense your presence, even in the stillness of this moment. As Caroline plays, God, speak to us. Thank you. thank you for the rich blessings that you have given to us, Father. Thank you for a mind that we can hear you, God. Thank you all for a heart. And even though it hurts sometimes, we can sense your presence. Thank you for a voice that can speak your name. Now, Father, as we close this time, hear the words that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And all God's people can say, amen, amen, amen. I'm going to be turning today to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in your large print Bibles under your chairs. If you want one, it's page 1802. We're going to be looking at verse 7, the word of the Lord. How many times have you ever just come to worship, wondered about something, pondered different things, kicked around some concepts, maybe kicked the tires, gave it a thought, held a meeting, discussed the options, saw the need, felt the calling, searched the papers and the outlines, reviewed the headlines, met with people, considered the foundations, read the word, understood the grace, felt the power, and yet turned over and walked away. Never took a step, dropped the subject, and simply lost the options and the opportunities. This is one of those sermons today that I rarely ever preach. You haven't heard me preach it over the 20 plus years that I've been here, probably no more than 3 or 4 times, but I'm going to today. I'm going to ruffle some feathers and consider some subjects that some don't like. And many of you may say, that's all you preachers ever talk about. But we're going to talk about it today. John, you can put up that title. This title is taken from the scriptures right from Paul's words. Think it, start it, and finish it. Let's look at the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 7. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's word, let's do that. And begin to see what Paul has to say here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 7. It's up there or in your Bibles if you want to follow along. But since you excel in everything, in faith, speech, and knowledge, in complete earnestness and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you excel in this grace of giving. Can you imagine what the sermon's on? John, can you give me just a little more volume so I can hear a little bit better up here? Thank you, sir. Next verse, I'm not commanding you, Paul says. So I'm not commanding you today, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. By comparing it with the earnestness of others. We're going to do some comparison shopping today. Paul says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by the completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Hear that word. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathers much did not have too much. The one who gathered little did not have too little. May God add a blessing to the reading. You may be seated. Paul in chapter 8 begins with a conversation about the Macedonian churches. In verse 1, he begins to talk about brothers and sisters, that the Macedonian churches, who through the most severe trials and extreme poverty, have shown enormous generosity, giving as much as they were able beyond what they were able, all on their own and without pleading or provocation. More so the giving of money, it was noted that they gave of themselves. So please remember, it's not always about money. Even though it sounds like that, it's not always about money. The Macedonian church, here Paul is talking about, not only we'll see as a beginning talked about, but they gave and they gave of themselves. More than giving money, it was noted they gave of themselves to the Lord and God's will. And Paul urges Titus, since he made a beginning, to bring it to completion, this act of grace. This scripture fits in a larger section in 2 Corinthians and Paul's chief concern. It also hints on Galatians chapter 2, verse 10, that Paul's concern for the poor has been as part of his ministry since the beginning. We also find it in Romans chapter 15 that Paul talks about a service to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Paul's collection for the Jerusalem church is a massive undertaking. The instructions in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 implied that the church has raised the question about how to collect contributions. Paul here continues this zeal in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that what you thought about it, started it, now finish it. Paul reminds the church of their commitment to this collection, and he boasts about the Macedonian churches. We begin with this idea of what Paul calls the act of grace and giving. Now, here's where the rub comes in. Do we know what the difference between tithes and offerings are? I know my wife does. The Scripture calls out a tithe, and the Scripture calls out an offering. Now, I must clearly state that in the Old Testament, one of the terms was given, and given significant information. But that was part of the Jewish law. When we look into the New Testament, it has changed. So what is a tithe? What's the term tithe? The original thought on a tithe was designed around the Levitical law of 10%. The tithe was given as an incident, an antidote to the Levitical church and the Jewish law that they should give 10%. It wasn't 10%, it's talked about a tenth. And we have adopted that as 10%. There's this other term that's an offering. Is there a difference between the tithe and offering? Yes. According to scriptures and what we'll see, a tithe was of the first. An offering was up and above what you normally would present. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul goes more on to talk about that. Perhaps Paul is anticipating some of the church might be opposed to this whole idea. And before he resorts to shaming them directly, he reminds the believers of their action to support the church. And he said that Christ gave up extraordinary riches so that he might receive the abundance of the wealth of God's grace. He begins to spend a little bit of time on this whole idea of tithe and offerings. Or to tell the church they should give. And he since talks about the Macedonian church. Well, I'm not here to browbeat you. I'm not here to share that if you give and give out of your abundance, God's going to return that to you. There's a lot of places that do that. There's a lot of churches that will emphasize, if you give to God and give me that $100, God's going to promise to give that back to you in multifold. I'm not doing that. I simply want to share with you the Scriptures and let you examine what they have to say. I'm not here to say that if you give, it's determined. What you give is determined by yourself. But the short answer is, we are called to give. Simply put, the Bible specifically talks about it, and he specifically talks about the fact that we give, and we give out of whatever God has given to us. Tithing is mentioned throughout the Bible. In Exodus chapter 35, verse 5, stands out. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering. The voluntary act of giving is a sacred teaching that helps the church to fulfill that mission. Tithing is a technical term. In the Scriptures, it's called tiotha. Tiotha literally means one-tenth in the donation giving. Tithing is a technicality that talks about the contribution of 10% from what we earn. Now, there's a lot of information, and I say this. Some have said, do I give off my net? Do I give off my gross? I'm not even going to go into that conversation because I know how I do it, and I know that if I'm going to give off my net, if I get money back at the end of the year from the government, I give on that as well. You're either going to give on your gross, you're going to give on your net. Whatever you do, that's not the conversation for this term. My conversation is around the fact of what the Scripture calls for. Tithing is explicitly mentioned and instructed in the Old Testament. In Leviticus 27:30, states that the land should be tied to God and everything on earth belongs to God. And here's where the rub comes in. Who owns it in the first place? How did you get it in the first place? Because of God. All that we have is supplemented because God gave it to us. And what are we to do? We're to be number one stewards of what God has entrusted to us. That is not my conversation in such that I say, you have to do this. The Scripture says that it all belongs to God in the first place. God gives, God can take it away. It's as simple as that. However, it's important to know that Jesus talked about tithing and to uphold justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Biblical giving was noted in Proverbs chapter 3. We're told to honor God with our wealth. Likewise, as we said in chapter 27 of Leviticus, to honor God. So we have this whole idea of a tithe. Then we have this next idea of what's called a seed or offering. Seed offerings different from tithe in a couple of ways. Because what God says is to give out of our abundance. An offering comes not in a percentage or a number, but it's told to give out of our abundance. The Scripture calls that we are to offer back to God out of that abundance. And I say that if I've received a tip or generosity, if I've received a bonus in something that I've done, that is up and above. You can either tithe on that or you can give that as an offering. We have taken the stance, both Beth and I, that if somebody gives me a tip or something like that, I give off of that money. It's a simple put. I look at my pay, and I look at what I receive from work, and I tithe on that. That is off of the first fruits. I also tithe on whatever other gifts that I receive. That is an offering up and above. Then there's this whole idea of first fruits, the biblical kind of giving that is given off of what we have, whether it's some extra bonus, extra work, new jobs, first fruits. That's a wonderful way of expressing what God has given to us. There's also this idea Scripture talks about not only the tithe, but seeds and offerings, first fruits, but then there's this idea of almsgiving, the last kind of thing, donating money to a local charity. Some of you have a favorite charity you give to. Some of you give to food banks or homeless shelters. That is an almsgiving. That is not your tithe. That is not your offering. It is not the first fruit. It is up and above everything else. And you're saying, wow, Pastor, you're really confusing me here. There's this four forms of giving. Tithe, offering, first fruits, and now almsgiving. Because we give to certain organizations. We give up and above everything else. There's disaster relief kits, organizing. So the book of Matthew, the believers are commanded to give. Finally, Paul states here about giving, that we must do it cheerfully. I don't know that as you walk past the offering plate in the back, and we used to, as a rule, we used to pass out the offering plate. We used to have ushers who'd come and pass it out. When COVID came along, nobody wanted to touch it. They didn't want to pass it because you had to wipe it off. We were afraid of germs. And so we've gone to placing the offering plate in the back. We ask that people, as they give, place it in the plate. And then our ushers and counters go back and take care of it from there. But because of that, you don't see it passed around. We don't talk a lot about money. But the truth is that if we're a good steward of what God has entrusted to us, giving not only supports this facility, but supports our state offices. Some of you may not know. Our church donates back to the state. We take a portion of our budget and we give it back to the state. It supports the state offices of the Church of God, who in turn supports the general offices of the Church of God in Anderson. So that work carries on through what we are doing. So we're not only giving, we give back to the state. We tithe back to the state a portion of our offering that comes into the church. Well, so there you have this act of grace and giving. How do you feel so far? Like, I haven't beat you up too bad yet, have I? I didn't ask you to pull open your wallets and give, have I yet? Not yet. No, you will find by the end of this sermon, I will not ask you to pull out your wallets and give. That is not the purpose of this. I know that over the years, I have tested my actions against what I believe. And many of you know when you do the counting, I don't have to tell you, my wife and I make it very specific on what we give. And there's sometimes discussions about that in our household. Very exegetical discussions. But you know what? She always wins. And we should tell you that we believe in giving to the church, and we give out of that. Our records speak for itself and has for the last 20 years. So you can test our actions if you want to know that. I can share that with you, but that's not the purpose of this message. Sometimes our actions will be tested against others. Now, why would Paul do that? Why would he pit others against the Macedonian church? First of all, Paul is trying to tell them that you might see this as a little bit of a comparison shopper. You might find that Paul, why is Paul telling you, I want to test you against the actions of others? Why would Paul do that in the scriptures? Well, Paul is trying to indicate to the Corinthian church, the church at Corinth, and the idea of the Macedonian church, that sometimes our sincerity of our love is reflected by what we do. He's not commanding them to give. He's saying, I want you to understand the genuineness of the love that they have. And it's a demonstration for you and I to determine what God is doing in our life. Paul's not trying to manipulate the Corinthian church. He's trying to say, look, here's an example that we should follow. And truth of it matter is, they love God. The joy of their salvation and giving was done sacrificially. It's hard for us to understand. But unmistakably, hear this word. I'll take a deep breath, and I'll have a drink of coffee before I tell you. And I won't stare at you so you don't think I'm pointing you down. But the giving that you give reflects the sincerity of your love. And I'll say this earnestly. If you say you love God and you love others and you don't give to God, what does that say about your love? Let me give you an example. If John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world, but yet he gave nothing, what would it say about God's love? What if he said, oh, God loved the world, and he gave us a Reese's peanut butter cup? I know that sounds silly, but God owns the whole universe. What does it say for us? If God so loved the world that he gave his only son, it says that God gave, by the sincerity of his actions, everything to us. Well, in the same way, your giving reflects the sincerity of your love. Generous giving equals generous love. Stingy giving is said to equal stingy love. That truth might be shallow, but it's an important principle. Many of our actions, if you ask someone, if they support the actions of what God is doing, how many of us support it with this? See, the truth says, if I support the work of God, I should have mirrored actions. I know that's a little strange, but the same applies today. We have a lot of enthusiasm about projects, but when it comes to the end, the truth says, do I support the work of the Lord? And I must say, Bethany is okay. I'm not telling you this message. I didn't want to preach this. I don't like preaching these messages because they're very difficult. But Paul is saying, look, this Macedonian church, all the way back in 1 Corinthians, started a project. They thought about it, they started it, and they finished it. Imagine if a runner was running the marathon, and they stopped halfway through, and they never completed the race. Why did Paul say that I fought the good fight? Why did Paul say I what the race? I finished the race. And Paul said, if I start it and I finish it, now there's in store for me what? The crown of righteousness, which the Lord will reward. Paul said, if we start it and we start the race, we must finish it in advance. Paul is testing the actions of what we do. He said, sometimes you've got to think it, start it, and finish it. Well, think about that. If we never get anything done, if we put all the thinkers, you know, there's organizations today that pay a great price for individuals to dream and think outside of the box. There are places that pay a healthy wage for someone who has nothing in their office, who stares out the window all day long and dreams dreams, big dreams, thinks about things, thinks about organizations and actions and thinks about what could be and all of those directions. But you know, the truth of the matter is you can think it all day long. Until you start it, until you finish it, nothing happens. Jesus could have said, yes, I'm going to the cross, and stayed in the garden all day long. He could have never went with them. He could have never finished the totality of his actions. Then Paul said, well, if I'm fighting the good fight, I have to finish the race. And I have to not only think about it, and I not only have to start it, but I have to finish it. And there's that truth in it, about thinking it. We can think all day long great thoughts and think about giving. I can tell you actions that came to Beth and I when we were struggling financially. We simply said, God, what do you want us to do? And through the power of prayer, God spoke to both of us and said, well, if I'm going to give you a dollar, give back. And if you continue to follow that principle, you'll never be without. And the truth of the matter is, I can honestly say, we've never been without. Yeah, I go to work every day. I do the stuff that's necessary. But the truth of the matter is, God has been faithful. He's given us good health. He's given us all the things that we so need. And there's so much that we think we want to have, or we should have, or the neighbor has that I want. It's not about that. It's about giving to God. It's about serving God. And it's trusting God with everything. We've got to think about it, but we have to start it. The truth of the matter is, Peter would have never walked on water unless he got out of the boat, would he? He can think about that Jesus is out there walking on the water and there's a big storm, but the truth of the matter is David would have never defeated the giant unless he stepped out and had faith in God. Peter would have never walked on the water unless he trusted God. He had to take the first step. And you and I, we can think about it all day long. But once we start it, we now have to finish it. And what God is calling us to is this whole idea of stop thinking about it. The church thought about it. And Paul simply said here, exceeding expectant, I urge you, I compel you. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your faith. I want to know that once you begin something, the truth of the matter is Scripture says, he who began a good work in you will what? Carry it on until completion. If God has entrusted that to us, that God has given us a good word and will carry it on to completion, then what's that say? Will our desires match the quality? Paul is not about relieving some and afflicting others. He's not talking about reciprocity. Paul's talking about Christ who overflows in our lives, the exchange of wealth and poverty. Paul is talking about the church, the body of Christ, the koinonia, the body of Christ, to overflow with the excellence and spills out of the effects of our lives. I don't know your financial situation, and I don't want to know further your financial situation. I don't want to know what you give, and I truthfully don't make it a practice to go figure out what you give and whether you've given enough or you haven't given enough. That's not my job. That's your job and God's job in your own life. I know what God's called me to do, and I live out of that abundance. So I can tell you the example stops here. And if the Scripture teaches it, then you have to deal with what God is doing in your own life. It's not my place to judge whether you give enough or not. My place is to share with you what the Scripture calls us to do. And the truth of the matter is, Bethany Church of God is financially sound. It's point blank. That can only happen by the actions that we take and by the people who give. It's simply put. This Scripture came out of the fact of what Paul is trying to tell about the Macedonian church. And the truth of the matter, will our desires match the quality of our relationship? And it simply put, does God supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus? Does He do that? And if God actually supplies all of your needs and God has begun a good work in you and you trust God and everything that you have belongs to God, I know you might say, well, Pastor, now you're browbeating us. Well, the truth of the matter says, if God really has supplied all of your needs, if God has given you the opportunity, and God has blessed your life, and God calls you to give, and God wants you to share in the wealth of one another, and God needs you to give back to Him, well, God doesn't really need it because He owns it in the first place, but if God has called you to support the work of the church, and the church needs to grow, and we need to reach out, trust me, ministry isn't cheap. It's not about my income. It's about reaching out. It's about growing the work of the Lord. It's about reaching those outside of the church. But does our desires match the quality of our work and the relationship? It's simply put. That's it. That's the message. Think about it, start it, and finish it. The choice is yours. What will you do? How will God bless your life? This whole message was spun out of the Macedonian church and what they did. The truth says, what will you do? The answer is left in your hands. Father, thank you for the Scripture. Thank you for the grace that you have given to us. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you that we can not only think it, start it, now you've called us to finish it. What will we do, God? What will you teach us? What is the opportunity? What are the obstacles? Father, I pray that you will break down the obstacles, break down the barriers, that you'll bless your people. Father, if they give a dollar, thank you, Lord, for their gift. If they give out of their abundance, thank you, God. If they give out of their poverty, thank you, God. If they give out of their wealth, thank you, God. I pray that whatever the church does, Father, let this message be an opportunity to grow. Let them give out of their relationship, and let us think it, start it, and let us finish it. I thank you and praise you for what you're doing and what you're calling us to. In your holy name I pray. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion may fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. When is
Well, there's a lot to be said in that song. I'll let you think about those words. May God bless you in this coming week. May you celebrate together God's goodness and His grace. Father, I pray that Your hand will be upon us, that You'll lead us, You'll bless us, and continue to remind us of Your faithfulness to us. All I have needed, Your hand has provided. Great is Your faithfulness. Bless us, Lord. In Your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. Go in peace.
Yeah.